Good morning. If you did not receive a handout, raise your hand and be sure that you get one. Let's praise God for the rain. I know several of you are suffering from allergies, including my wife, and this rain and the change in temperature should help those allergies. So praise the Lord for the rain. And as we hopefully get over this allergy season, for those who are suffering for allergies, I know several of you are doing that. Today, taking root downward, bearing fruit upward, our theme for the year, and we're coming to sowing and reaping, our message number 6. Last week we looked at growing a relationship with the Lord. Here it's growing relationships. There's an S on the end. All right? And our key verse here, John 15:9, and repeated in 12 and 17, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Love each other as I have loved you. Love each other." Let's bow in prayer as we begin today. Father, we thank you for this rain, and we pray that it would bring relief to those who are suffering allergies, and that you would help them. We pray for others who are ill. We remember Julie. Ask your hand be upon her to raise her up, and continue to pray for Yiming's mother. You be with her. Father, we come before you. We ask that your Spirit would teach us. Our hearts be open. And Father, pray for the anointing of your Spirit. And open our eyes. Let us not be distracted by anything that you might have be able to speak to our hearts today. That our ears would be open and our hearts would be open. And Lord, we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first question we want to consider is, what is remain in the Lord? It means to be growing together in our relationship with the Lord. We talked about this word remain. It can be translated to abide, to continue. It's a growing relationship with the Lord. And we ought to have our relationship with Jesus Christ. It ought to be a growing relationship. And we talked about that last week. How as a growing relationship, it is bearing fruit. And not just fruit, but more fruit and much fruit. So here we look at another question. What is remain in His love? Not only should we remain in Christ and growing in our relationship with Christ, but we should remain in His love. And so this is our growing relationship and growing in our relationships with others. So we should have growing relationships. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Love one another as I have loved you. Love each other. Now we took a look last time, primarily at the vine and the branch, that we are the branches, and that we are connected in a growing relationship with that vine, that Jesus Christ is the true vine. And we also talked about fruit. And so, we saw how God, our Father, is a gardener. He prunes us to make us more fruitful. And we talked about that pruning is not always, it can be painful. But it is for our good that we might bear more fruit and much fruit. And so this relationship we have, the branches with the vine, and the bearing of fruit, and the Holy Spirit producing His fruit in our lives. So this is a picture we have here in John 15. Now I want you to consider with me, first of all here, what are the causes for growing relationships? Relationships we have with one another, whether it be in our families or at church or where we work, at school or our neighborhood, how do those relationships grow? And let me suggest to you that there are some loving causes for those relationships to grow. Now, we talk about love, but do we understand what love is? Notice here in John 15:9, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. As God the Father loved God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so does He love us, and we are to remain in His love. So I want you to take a look here, first of all, that God is love. This is repeated to us in 1 John chapter 4, 2 times. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so we know and rely on the love of God that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. So twice it's repeated for us. God is love. During our VBS, we looked at the Chinese characters, and we're trying to use the Chinese characters and building bridges to present the gospel to other cultures, and particularly the Chinese culture. But here's the character for love. As we look at the different, there are three parts of this character for love. And so I want you to pay attention here, this being the heaven here, the hand above the heavens, shows us the source of love. Love comes from God. God is love. He is the source of love. In this world, we see a lot of hatred. We see a lot of violence. We see a lot of evil. God is a source of love. And so remember that. The hand above the heavens tells us where love comes from. And then I notice the second part of this character. Secondly, we see that God's love is poured into our hearts by the Spirit. And this is in Romans 5:5. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so you see the second part of this character here is the character for heart, this traditional character. When we believe in God, we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. And God's love is poured into our hearts. That's how we're able to love. God's love is poured into our hearts, has been given to us. It's not something that we can do on our own to love. But God pours His love into our hearts. And then the third part of this I want you to see here, number three, is that God's love is demonstrated by Christ. We talk about love. It's not selfish love. It's not what's in it for me. But here we see the example of God's love in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates, He shows us His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not, you know, trying to make ourselves good before God that we're accepted, that He died for us. No, while we were still sinners, away from God, Christ died for us. And so again, Ephesians 5:2, that we're to walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. And so, just as, you want to circle that, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. That's the kind of love that we're to have. And so we see the other part here, that we're to follow in the way of love. That we're to follow in the way of love. And so the three parts of love in this character, the source of love, it comes from God the Father. God the Spirit puts His love in our hearts. And then we follow the way of Christ. We're to love as He loved us and gave Himself for us. And so this is the way of love, or the walk of love. And so I think it's interesting that this Chinese character for love shows us the three parts of love. Shows us how God the Father, how the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, the Jesus Christ, all show us the way of love. And so this is what causes us to grow in our relationship, that we have this love that comes from God. The Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts, and that Jesus Christ has shown to us, and the way that He walked upon this earth and He gave His life for us. And so that I want us to notice next then that there are growing relationships. And how are we to grow in these relationships? First of all, we're growing in obedience. God is not finished with us yet. When we become a Christian, we are constantly growing. And we're growing in our obedience. And so in John 15:10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. So as we obey Him, as we follow in His steps, we are showing His love. We're remaining in His love. And this is love, 2 John 1:6, that we walk in obedience to His commands. As you have heard from the beginning, His command is that you walk in love. Walk in love. So as our lives, as we're following Jesus Christ, we're following the way of love, we're remaining in His love, we're demonstrating to this world what love is. Now this world does not, there's not much love in this world. It's pretty much one person maybe against another person, or striving and hatred and so forth. But we need to demonstrate God's love. And this is done as we grow in our obedience to Him. And then notice another thing is we're growing. We're growing in our obedience, but we're also growing in joy. We're growing in joy. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Now, there's a difference between happiness and joy. Now, these two words, very important for us to understand the difference between happiness and joy. We say happy birthday, happy anniversary. Happiness is an outward thing. You can be happy if your circumstances are happy. Happiness. But joy, as the Bible speaks of joy, joy is in the heart. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, joy. And so the joy that comes from our hearts, and we're growing not only in our obedience, but we're growing in our joy. And whatever our circumstances may be, the joy that is inside our hearts, it's interesting as we look at this here that talks about our joy will be made complete. It will be made full. And we see other references to this. And John chapter 3, our joy is complete in the presence of the bridegroom. Speaking here of Christ. The friends of the bridegroom. Speaking here that in the presence of the bridegroom that there is complete joy. So, as we walk in the presence of Christ, He gives us joy in our hearts. That doesn't mean everything's going to be smooth. It doesn't mean everything's going to go the way we want it to go. There are difficulties. There are the ups and downs of the pathway that we follow, that we walk. But we can have complete joy in our hearts. Our joy is complete with answers to prayer. In John 16:24, as we take whatever happens in our lives, we take it to God in prayer. Our joy is complete in our hearts as we trust God in those circumstances. Our joy is also complete with the assurance of salvation. 1 John is a wonderful book. If you know someone who has questions or doubts about their salvation, that's a good book to read, 1 John. It talks about the fact that the assurance of our salvation, we know that we are saved because of what Jesus Christ has done, and we put our faith and trust in Him. And that assurance gives us a complete joy. We also see that 2 John 1:12, our joy is complete with talking face to face. Our joy is complete. As brothers and sisters, we fellowship with each other face to face. We fellowship face to face with our Father in heaven. that joy is complete. So we are growing in joy. And we need to understand the difference between happiness and joy. So let us be growing in the joy in our hearts that God has put in there. And that it's a fruit of that the Spirit growing in joy. Not only are we growing in obedience, growing in joy, but we'll also be growing in love. And so he says here, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And notice here the word greater love. Greater, something's greater, it's growing, it's becoming greater. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And this is my command, love each other. As we grow in love, we're willing to lay down our lives to serve one another, to serve God and to serve one another. And so we're growing in love. We're growing in love. You think about a small child, 2 or 3 year old, it's pretty much all me for a small child. My thing, mine. And that small child has a lot of growing that needs to take place. And so it's true with us. We are growing in obedience. We're growing in joy. We're growing in love. And we encourage one another as we grow. And so think about this, these growing relationships that we have here. That we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. This is an evidence of new life. This is an evidence that we have new life, is that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Now, notice especially this here. I want you a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. John 13:34-35. I want us to take some time here on this verse to understand what this is saying to us. A new command. Now, we have in the Old Testament, of course, we're all aware of the Ten Commandments. And those who studied the Old Testament, the Pharisees, and they would list all the other commandments that were found in the Old Testament. They came up with a list of 613 commands in the Old Testament. 613 commands. And so one day they came to Jesus, and wanting to tempt Him and wanting to test Him. And so they asked Him, well, what is the greatest commandment? There are 613. Which one is the greatest? And Jesus answered, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the greatest. And like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And so on these two fall all the commands. And he quoted that from the Old Testament, that we're to love God and we're to love one another, love our neighbors. But here he says a new command. What does that mean, new? We need to circle that word new and understand what that means, new. There's new in the sense of time. You go and shop for a new car. Well, if you go buy a 2019, this year's model, this maybe only has 50 miles on it. It was transported here. That's a new car. That's new in time. But new can also be idea of that which is new in experience, or something that is new, that is fresh. So, you could go out and buy a car that could be 10 years old, but to you, it's new. I got a new car. That's great. I got a new car. It's 10 years old, but it's new to me. It's new experience for me. My first car. That's the difference between the different ways of looking at the word new. And so as we look at this new commandment, love one another. But I want you to take note of this. What is new about this? As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Circle the word as. As I have loved you. Now, Jesus gave this, the Lord's Supper, the last meal with His disciples, the night before He was to be put on trial, and just a few hours later to be crucified. And so, this is a new experience, this new commandment. Love as I have loved you. Now, in John 13, verse 1, Jesus said that He loved His disciples. He loved them to the end. And to His death, He loved them. He gave of His life. And so that's the new commandment. The example, love as Christ loved. Not just love your neighbor as yourself. But it goes beyond that. Not just love as yourself, but love as Christ loved you. You see, that's a new commandment. That's a new command. And so there's a new experience. As Christ loved us, as Christ laid down His life for us, that's how we're to love one another. But there's also a new power, and that the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to love. So there's not only a new experience, but a new power. The coming of the Holy Spirit. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. And so this new commandment that we love as Christ loved and that we love in the power of His Spirit. You know, we think about, well, I try to love my neighbor as myself. Well, this goes beyond that. We love as Christ loved. Oh, no, I couldn't do that. As the power the Spirit gives you, as God's Spirit enables you, that we're to have that kind of love. And then look at 1 John 3:11. For this is a message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. What marks us as Christians? It's not wearing a cross. I did wear a tie today about John 3:16. Remind me of the source of God's love. But I don't have to write John 3:16 across my forehead to mark me as a Christian or tattooed on my forehead. What is it marks us as a Christian? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. What is it? That you love one another. By this they shall know you're my disciples. Not if you're wearing a cross on your forehead or on your necktie or whatever it might be. By this that you love one another, they shall know that you are my disciples. And so that is the evidence. We believe. This is what it means to be a Christian. To believe in the name of His Son and to love one another. We love one another as He commanded us, as He gave us that new command. Then we show that we are His disciples. And so, this is what this growing relationship's all about, that we're growing. So here's our application. Do you have growing relationships? We should know God's love and be growing in our obedience, our joy, and our love. And remember that by this, others will know that we are His disciples. And number two, we looked at the causes of a growing relationships. I want you to see the results of our growing relationships. First of all, that there are loving friendships. Now, we have many acquaintances, people we know. We call them acquaintance. I know about that person. I maybe heard about him. I maybe seen him before. We say we know them. They're acquaintance. But we have a very few friends. And even some of our friends may prove to be unfriendly or even unfaithful. And that was the case as we look at the disciples. What about Judas? He who was called a friend, but we see how unfaithful he was. Even a devoted friend may fail us when we need him or her the most. Peter, James, and John, the three, the inner circle, who are often with Jesus. What happened? They went to sleep in the garden when they should have been praying with Jesus. Even those that are your closest friends will fail you. And Peter even denied the Lord three times. But our friendship to each other and to the Lord is not perfect. But His friendship to us is perfect. And through that friendship, we can also learn how we're to be friends to one another. First of all, I want you to take a look at three things here about what it means to be a friend. There is a faithful friend. So here, John 15:14, Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command." If you're faithful, you demonstrate that your friendship. It means that we are to be dependable, that we're to be faithful. And then there's also a loving friend. Proverbs 17:17. You ought to remember this verse here. 17:17. A friend loves at all times. A brother is born for time of adversity. Now, when everything's going good, you're prospering or whatever, it's easy to have a lot of friends. Especially if you buy food for them, or if you take them out to eat, or you give them candy or whatever. It's easy to have a lot of friends. But when you're going through difficult times, who is that brother? Who is that friend that sticks closer than a brother? A brother who's born for time of adversity. And so a friend loves at all times, good and bad. A true friend, a loving friend, will love at all times. And so it's interesting as we think about this, we see then the simplified character for the love here in Chinese. Again, reminding us of the source of this love, the hand above the heavens. But here is the character for friendship. For friendship. And so from this we see that this kind of love, true love, it also is demonstrated in friendship. There's a faithful friend. There's a loving friend. And then I want you to see the third type of friend here is that there is a close friend. Jesus said in John 15:15, "I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you." So close friends can share secrets. Close friends can share the things in your life that you can share with somebody that's a close friend. And so Jesus, with His disciples here, He shared with them things. He could open His heart up to them and share things with them from the Father, "I have made known to you." So there is we think of the friends here, a faithful friend, a loving friend. Do you have also a close friend? And then the fourth is a chosen friend. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Think of this, that we are chosen and appointed friends by God. "I have chosen you." We don't deserve it. We're unworthy of that choice that God has chosen us. But Christ died for us. God desires that we be His friend. Now, as you think about this idea of friendship, there are growing friendships as well. We see examples of friendship. We think of God's leaders as His friends. Now, they're not the only ones. We take a look here. But in the Bible, there are three individuals that are mentioned as friends of God. If you look at this, Job was called a friend of God. Abraham, three times, was called a friend of God. And Moses was called a friend of God. They were God's friends. In fact, we see these words said of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He believed God. God considered him to be righteous because of his faith, and he was called a friend of God. Now, leaders can be friends and ought to be friends of God, but not only leaders. As you take a look here, we see that God's children ought to be God's friends. We're not only called His children, but we see often, as John wrote in 1 John and 2 John and 3 John, dear friends, 10 times he addressed children of God as friends. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made perfect in us. So, as God's children, we ought to be God's friends, and our relationship with God, but also in our relationship with one another. And those relationships, because God's children are to love one another. How is it possible for Jesus to command us to love one another? How can true love be commanded? How can that be commanded? You know, we must keep in mind that Christian love is not basically a feeling. A lot of times we think of love as just being a feeling, an emotion. I feel I have love. But it is an act or a decision of the will. It's a decision we make. The proof of our love is not in our feelings, but in our actions. Even to the extent of laying down our lives for Christ and for one another. Christ, remember, laid down His life for His friends and even for His enemies. And Romans 5:10. So, as God's children, we are His friends, but we are to love one another and show that friendship of God to one another. And so, as we look at this, I want you to consider 1 John 3:16 to 18. And I want you to read with me these verses right here. I want you to read, everybody together with me, read these verses. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us love with words or speech, with actions and truth. I'm sorry, let us love with words or speech. Let us not love only with words or speech, but let us love with actions and in truth. And so He's calling us. This is the new commandment, that we love as He loved us. And not just in word. Oh, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. But in action. And so, God's children are to love one another. How is it possible for Jesus to command us to love one another? We just need to realize that this is not just a feeling, but it's an action. Do you have growing relationships with one another? We should be growing as God's friends in our love for God, but also in our love for one another. One of the greatest privileges we have as God's friends is learning to know God, to know Him better, and coming nearer to God. Oswald Sanders wrote this, "Each of us is as close to God as we choose to be." I want you to think about that again. I'm going to say that one more time. Each of us is as close to God as we choose to be. We are His followers, yes, but as far as being His friends, each of us are as close to God as we choose to be. And we are God's friends. We ought to be near to Him, listening to His Word, enjoying His closeness, obeying His commands. And so He invites us, come near to God, and He will come near to you, James 4:8. So there are many one another statements in the New Testament. Encourage one another, build up one another, serve one another. But all these statements, as we looked at those during our retreat, but all these can be summarized in one, love one another. As friends of God, we must not only love Him, but also love one another. What joy it brings to His heart when He sees His friends loving one another, working together to obey His commands. As we think about perfect love, it's slow to suspect, but it's quick to trust. It's slow to condemn, but it's quick to justify. It's slow to offend, but quick to defend. Slow to expose, but quick to shield. Slow to reprimand, but quick to forbear. Slow to belittle, but quick to appreciate. Slow to demand, but quick to give. Slow to provoke, but quick to conciliate, to reconcile. Slow to hinder, but quick to help. Slow to resent, but quick to forgive. I want you to think of these words as we close here. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, that great love chapter, if we speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love. If we do not have love. If I have the gift of prophecy and I have faith that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Short story, I'll close with this. Stephen Yee has been the speaker of our youth group on the special meetings, the English services, and he shared a message on Jesus' new command yesterday. He closed with this, and I think this is very interesting. He has three small children of his own. But as he and his wife began to pray about this new command that we're to love one another, God burned upon their hearts, laid upon their hearts that they ought to love foster children, those who have no homes. And so they took in a foster child. And then God laid upon their hearts to adopt an orphan. So He showed us a picture of a little girl, Jia Yi is her name. She's an orphanage in Taiwan. And in the next few weeks, they are adopting her into their family. Now, that was how God spoke to their hearts about this new commandment to love one another. Now, that application to each of us may be different. Maybe God would lay upon us, our hearts, to help foster children that have no homes. They go from one home to another just to take them in and help them or to adopt or whatever. But certainly God can show us that we ought to, as His disciples, we ought to love one another, whatever that might mean, whatever God would speak to our hearts about. Let's bow in prayer together. Lord, we thank You for Your mercy, that You not only forgive us as sinners of our sin, but that we are Your children. And as we follow in obedience to You and love for one another, that we are also Your friends. We demonstrate that to others by our love for one another, as Christ loved us. Lord, help us to love one another. And that is a summary of all the one another commands. If we love one another, we encourage one another. If we love one another, we forgive one another. If we love one another, we will build up one another. Lord, we thank You and praise You. Help us. In Jesus' name.